Hi, buddy. Welcome to the Wednesday Sports Line, the Bulldog Hour. Got more inside as always. Get a 3M. That's a good buddy, Phil Benatti. He's outstanding. Behind the bench, normally 3 hours, will be 2 hours today because he and Paul Metters will be out at San Joaquin Memorial tonight for SJM in Bakersfield. Jalen Green in for jersey retirement tonight at SJM. That was planned, of course, long ago. Didn't know that Jalen would suffer the injury that he has suffered, but he will be there tonight. I know that from what Jorge tells me, Phil and Paul Metters have a chance to talk to Jalen, who's really one of the good guys. There's no doubt about it. And I was just mentioning to Jorge off air, Phoenix a lot better than people thought. And I hope that Jalen is able to heal up, as it has been a tough injury run for him since the end of his tenure in Houston. Anyway, I'll tell you all about the schedule a little bit later on, courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his fine business, Precision Civil Engineering. Planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management. It's all there under one roof. For more information, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net. When we go over the schedule for both 1430 and 790, I'll tell you about everything Ed does for Fresno State, his alma mater, in the way of fundraising. Jack Furtig with me on a Wednesday to talk basketball coming off of the win last night. So a lot to get to. We'll get to Jack in just a moment. But first, the lead dogs want to spend some time with you. Number one, our friends at KFC in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman, the local operators. Right now, it's a throwback to the late 90s at KFC, which means the classic honey barbecue flavor is back on everything, on the chicken sandwiches, the tenders, and, of course, those crispy golden pieces you know and love, 2-, 3-, and 4-piece meals on sale right now at the local KFCs. And you still have the country fried steak on Wednesdays for $5.99. That's a long-running special. Tuesday still has the $10 eight-piece tenders offer, and a lot of other things going on, including the chicken pot pie. So great food at KFC. Stop by the local operators, Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. It has been and still is finger licking good, and tell them thanks for all they do to support athletics in the Valley if you stop on by. Other reminders, our friends at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing allow me the time every day to tell you about the weather. Again, been in the Central Valley since 1981. You see the avocado green and blue trucks all over the place. I've had them in to do work even during COVID. They were in really professional, very competitive pricing, and really nice people. If you have any need at all, you can give them a call, 825-5337, which is 825-LEES, or leesair.com on the web. Also, they sponsor the Lee's Air Hotline. That's how we bring up guests like Jack Furtig, and how Phil brings up not only his guests, but callers from the general public. So mark it down, Lee's Air Hotline, 559-320-1430. As far as the forecast goes, 61 today, a low of 49. The ever-present fog is around any time you see those temperatures in the mid-40s or so, high 40s, mid-40s as a low. You're going to be looking at fog. A chance of rain comes in tonight through tomorrow, maybe passing showers depending upon where you are in the valley. You might get a quick downpour. You might get nothing at all. We could see maybe a quarter inch across the valley floor from late tonight into tomorrow. Most of it will be gone by tomorrow afternoon. We might see half a foot or so of snow in the upper reaches. It's not a major storm, but coming off of what we've seen the last several days prior to right now, it is a welcome respite for the moment, with maybe, again, some of the saturated areas getting a little bit more than you'd want right now. But it will go from 61 today to 56 tomorrow, 58 on Friday, and then, except for the fog in the morning, it clears on Saturday and Sunday, 61 on game night on Saturday. So with a low of 44, you can figure you're going to need a jacket or a little bit of whatever it is you might have in regard to how you keep yourself warm for the ball game at 7:30. You could draw your own conclusions about how you heat yourself up on any given night. 63 Sunday, 65 Monday, and 60 on Tuesday. So pretty seasonal right now, and the lows again in the mid-40s, so be careful of the fog. Anyway, thanks everybody at Lee's for allowing us the time. Again, leesair.com, 825-5337, 825-Lee's. And then finally, our good friend Joe Cruz celebrating his 25th anniversary with his outstanding business, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply. He's over at 4529 North Marty Avenue in town, Suite 103. You can always give him a call at 266-7473, which is 266-PIPE, or on the web, superiorpipeusa.com, or Gabe, who works for Joe, has a direct email, gabe.sbs@gmail.com. Pipe fittings, valves, sanitary fittings, food-grade chemical hoses, suction hoses, it's all there under one roof. If you have an industrial need for a valve, if it's something that keeps your business flowing, no pun intended, if it goes down, your business can go down in a big hurry. And one of the great aspects of Joe's business, not only the Superior components for sale there, but his family-friendly business where you can stop in directly or you can give him a call, tell him what your issues are. He will get you a same-day estimate. He'll get on it right away. If you're taking a slight hit, he'll make sure it's just that slight so you don't take that catastrophic turn. If it already has become a problem, he'll get you back up and running as quickly as possible. So anything you might need, if you're a plant person, maintenance worker, someone working around a boiler, if you have a tanker delivery service, anybody who relies upon a valve, make sure that if you've got an issue, you contact Joe or Gabe. Again, 266-7473, 266-PIPE, or stop by 4529 North Marty Avenue, Suite 103. If you have a few minutes after Joe addresses your needs, he would tell you what he does for Fresno State and has done as a booster now for three decades. And right now, the best avenue is to head to the main website at GoBulldogs.com. There's a donate link there, and right next to it, I should mention, is the NIL link. So that is important, and it's under the aegis of the university now. So if you have any sponsorship idea, any donation, big or small, for NIL monies, make sure you head to that link, and you can see where the best move might be for you in regard to getting started with Fresno State to help out with a specific athlete at Fresno State. Or, again, the links for donation. You have the BDF membership. Club Red is there for former athletes. You have got the major giving societies. Their link shows the Green Bee Society, the Myers Champion Circle. Then under ways to give, you have methods of support that delineates what you can do for the university specifically. You've got sports clubs there. Again, Jack with me in just a second. Board of Directors Timeout Club. Your money goes directly to a set team, in this case, men's basketball. Jack has said they'd love to see more members. Give them a call directly if you like on his cell, 559-287-3305, or hit him up on his email, birdiejack@aol.com. Quarterback Club is there for football, Dugout Club for baseball, and other men's and women's sports under sports clubs. Your money going directly to the sport you choose. Also, Valley Co-op is there, and that's the very, very important way that you can help and also encourage others at the same time. We saw Jimmy De La Serta do this with a $1 million donation. Vance Wahlberg stepped up in his family for his own sport in regard to Valley Co-op. That link is there as well. And then there is a link which just has simply the word more that will tell you about information for tickets and parking on campus and a variety of other things as well. Best way to donate to Fresno State, head to GoBulldogs.com. And as we talk about it every day, it's an arms race right now, and it's going to get even more competitive when the Bulldogs head to the pack next year. Anyway, we thank Joe Cruz for allowing us the time to tell you how to give, and we thank Joe for what he has done for three decades plus now to benefit Fresno State. So thanks to Joe, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply. Thanks to Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering, to Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing, and the local operators of KFC in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. All that having been said, let's turn to our longtime friend, and I do mean longtime friend and longtime guest on this show, and our basketball expert, Jack Furtick. Jack, how you doing?
Good, Tony. Coming off a couple wins.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about that. By the way, to Vincent, who asked in the contest of who has the worst back, you or me, I'm still going to defer to you. Vincent, I'm just going to say, even though I have not done a show upright since 2002, I've been laying down for shows since then, I still say, Jack, your back is worse than mine. What do you say?
I think it might be a tie, and I don't think anybody wants either of them.
No, and I mentioned I had the one conference call with Steve Kerr in Tiger Woods, and the consensus was Tiger had won the award for worst back between the three of us. And keep in mind, Steve had leakage in his spinal column, and we still thought Tiger had the worst back of the three of us. So it is not a trophy anybody wants. Let's put it that way, but thanks, Vincent, for asking. All right, Jack, you bring up something, and I want to start in this regard because it is interesting that you know this from coaching all these years. The only way that you can know or be convinced you're going to win is to, you guess it, start winning, right?
I mean, that's right.
That's it. And so let's take the Long Beach State game out of the mix where the Bulldogs won comfortably. They have played four games around that time, all at home. Two of them they could have won and lost. That would be to UC San Diego and the much lamented one to University of South Carolina upstate. But also they played two games lately that they could have lost, but they won. So you can say that they sort of balanced out, except the difference is the two wins have come in the last couple of games you played. And I've said this, Jack, I'm not going to make more of the wins or the losses right now. I'm waiting. Everybody has their own criteria. I am waiting for the end of the year and viewing last year and this year, and I said it going into last year, as a 60-game, approximate 60-game singular body of work, and I'll look at it and say, okay, has this worked out? Has it not? I assume that's what Saul and Garrett will do as well. But, Jack, there's no doubt when you win the way the Bulldogs won last night and won earlier for two straight, you have to feel as though something is starting to go your way, right? I mean, at least incrementally. Am I right about this?
Yeah, somewhat. Yeah, I mean, you know, winning beats losing any day. But honestly, they should have won the USC upstate game. They deserved to win that game. They did not deserve to win last night. They did against Utah Valley. They played well. Last night, they gave up 19 offensive rebounds, and that's a recipe for disaster. However, against USC Upstate, they deserved to win, had some open looks. They were up 11 at halftime. They were a superior team. So, yeah, those two balance out. But last night, the issue I think that they have is Vance's best team is – small, and that's going to give up rebounds. But offensively, that's been the best. And defensively, other than giving up defensive rebounds, which is, you know, part of a possession, you have to finish the possession by getting the rebound. That's the best defensive team they have. When you're playing with Collins and Stickland, your leading rebounder yesterday was DJ. And that's having your guard be your leading rebounder is like having your safety lead the team in tackles. You know, I mean, where are the big guys up front and where are the big guys on the court? I mean, we've got 7 feet, 6'11", 6'10". These guys got to rebound more. You know, I mean, our guy, I'm sure you have this problem at our age where the name escapes you. Our guy from Slovenia, excellent offensive tip-in guy, gets a couple every game. Defensively, where is he? He's the biggest guy on the floor because that's their best team. He's usually with, you know, him and Collins and Stick and of course, Highbrider and Gorey, who's, you know, coming close to player of the game every game, puts the most pressure on the ball defensively and is a Vance type player. So, it's a concern. The offensive boards are a concern, giving up too many of them. However, defensively, that's what won the game for them yesterday. Other than some straight line drives and the aforementioned, as you say, offensive rebounds, defensive pressure at let's say, 30 feet. Between 30 feet and half court, their defense was excellent. Other than that, right, they give up a lot of easy baskets. But then on the other hand, they were getting a lot of easy baskets.
Well, Jeff, a couple of things here. One, you know, look, I want to talk to you about both Deshaun Gorey and DJ Stickman in regard to pleasant surprises that you couldn't have counted on at the start of the year. Talk about Gasper and what he was able to do, or has been able to do on the board. Yes. And that is a fair comment. Now, you know, our buddy Robert P., you know, gave the delineation, and Robert, you're spot on what you said, and he mentioned the free throw shooting that has to improve. One of the things about last night, and Vance said it to Paul in Q after the game, he said, I need to fire my free throw coach. And they said, who's that? He goes, it's me. He's talking about himself, okay? You had a situation last night where, and this is why, Jack, I said, in regard to your comment about a game last night they probably should have lost, but winning, that's when you start to think things are going your way. That's my point. When you, you know, when you lose games you're supposed to win, you feel as though you are fated to have problems going forward. When you start winning games that you're supposed to lose, that's when you start to think the worm has turned, right? Well, right, last night, late in the game, if you would have selected two guys that you wanted to see on the line to salt the game away, you would have selected Heidbreder and Collins. And those are the two guys that between them missed three free throws, and Jakes was the front end of a one-on-one, and that's what left the door open for the jumper that lipped in and out that could have sent the game to overtime. That has to improve, and everybody knows it. And if it's your two most clutch guys, because I view, if you look at the end of the game right now, Jack, I would think that Jake and Zion would be the two guys you'd most want to have the ball in their hands late, and yet they're the ones that missed, but you got away with it, right? So
yeah,
that's
yeah. I mean, you also have Foss and Jack Manny, who I think are good free throw shooters. However, free throw shooting won the game for them. It could have lost the game. Had we lost, we would have said free throw shooting lost because of the misses. We actually won the game because the difference at the free throw line, I think, was 8 points. And we were outscored from three by quite a bit and gave up 19 offensive rebounds and only got nine. So the difference in the game were the number of free throws we shot. Now, it could have been a much easier margin had we made, especially the late ones, you know, had we made those free throws. But, is it half empty or half full? You know, it's half empty if you look at the misses, and it's half full if you look at the discrepancy in how many we shot and how many we made as opposed to how many they shot and how many they made.
Right, but you don't want to be going 11 for 19 from the line. I mean, that's barely
absolutely
a, you know.
Not. Correct, absolutely okay. Not. Especially when you shoot 59% from the floor.
Well, you can erase that in a hurry, and as you and I have talked with free throw shooting, when you miss the front end of one-on-ones, that 11 for 19, or any time you're looking at that stat, you have to look at the number of missed front ends you might have had in foul 7,
sure,
8, and 9, because that can cost you another 3 points that can cost you a game. The point I was making about both Jake and Zion, if you're talking about the two guys on the court where pressure least affects them, it would be those two guys. They just flat missed throws. It wasn't because they were choking anything. The thing I wanted to bring up, Jack, though, to you about this, and again, I'm not making more of the wins or the losses right now. It's to be determined, and let's be real straight about this. What the Bulldogs do in conference is what's going to determine the fate of this particular tenure right now, coaching-wise. It's what happens in conference where they're going to be judged, and we'll see what happens there. But I will say this. And I always think about this in regard to two different aspects of sport, and it applies in every sport. The guys that were given up for dead career-wise, who come back out of nowhere and have an amazing renaissance, or maybe the first time that they've ever done what the hype said they would do, and the guys that were unexpectedly good and nobody could see it coming. And I bring it up in this regard. I always think of Jim Plunkett, and you remember, and Plunkett was a great friend of ours. We used to talk to him all the time. I wish him well. I think he's still up in the Bay Area. I know he's getting up there in age, but you and I are old enough to remember when he was the best player in college football at Stanford.
Absolutely.
Comes out,
yeah,
with major hype, goes to New England, where Chuck Fairbanks decides he wants to run an option series with Jim Plunkett, and damn near gets him killed. Plunkett ends up back with the 49ers, his hometown team, starts to have a really good career there. They start 6-1 in 1976. Now he's 5 years out of college and 5 years removed from the Heisman. 49ers bring in Joe Thomas as a GM. He decides to tear everything up and build the team in his own image. It was truly a case of it ain't broke, don't fix it, but he was going to fix it. Cast Plunkett aside, he's on the junk heap when Al Davis brings him to the Raiders with no hype whatsoever, sits the bench for a year and a half. Nothing is expected of him. Everybody thinks he's a washout in his career and was a guy who never reached his potential. Dan Pastorini gets hurt. Jim Plunkett wins two Super Bowls in 4 years, and his legacy is cemented. He got a chance in the right system at the right time with the right players and became the player that we thought he would be. I contrast that with Brock Purdy, who 49ers spent all this capital in every way, shape, or form, draft and otherwise, to bring Trey Lance in. And as it turns out, Mr. Irrelevant, Brock Purdy becomes the starting QB. You could never expect that. Nobody expected it, or he wouldn't have been drafted where he was. Jack, sure. I bring this up because Fresno State has two unexpected right now contributors big time. Guys that you didn't think right now at this point would be what they are, which would be Stickman, who Vance has said they thought they were going to redshirt. They're sure as hell not going to redshirt him now. And Deshaun Gorry, and what they have done, they have brought a team that you and I thought would lack athleticism. We talked about, well, the European guys are going to come in, they're going to shoot it better, but this team isn't going to be terribly athletic. Jack, all of a sudden you have two very athletic guys on the court playing key minutes. How in hell could you have possibly counted on that even a couple of months ago? It's pretty extraordinary, isn't it?
Sure, and the shame of it is that Nathan Zulamy might have been the best of the three athletes.
So what does that tell you? Does it tell you we just truly never know? I mean, that's all there is to it.
I don't know. Maybe it's evaluation skills. you got the right guys. You got Brock Purdy as Mr. Irrelevant. You know, maybe you evaluated him right because everybody else passed on him as well. So everybody else passed on those guys. And you know, you never know how much money people get NIL money, but. That's NIL money is similar to a draft. You know how much money the guy's getting. Your five highest paid guys ought to be your five starters. I mean, that would make sense, right? And you're getting guys that you didn't expect to do it, doing it. But like you said, if you get an opportunity, we're old enough to remember Lou Gehrig, you get your opportunity, you do pretty well. And some guys, wish they hadn't gotten hurt or wish they hadn't complained or quit or whatever. So, when I was in National Speakers, I noticed most of the speakers had a signature line. Zig Ziglar's line was, you can get whatever you want out of life if you help enough other people get what they want. And there's a guy named Roger Crawford who was born with his hands coming out of his elbows on both sides and became an accomplished tennis player and at Pepperdine. And they would show video of him when they introduced him and when he spoke. And his was defeat. Challenges are inevitable. Defeat is optional. So I decided I needed to come up with one. And I'll tell you, I came up with it. I know it's good because it's on John Baxter's wall. It's obviously longer than everybody else's. The greatest tragedy in life is unrealized potential due to injury, illness, death, not getting an opportunity, or worst of all, lack of effort, because that's the only one you can control. So, unrealized potential. You know, Nathan Zulamy, that's tragic. But a guy like, you know, Deshaun Gorey or DJ Stickman, these guys, you know, are realizing their potential. And if everybody could do it, your team's going to be better, especially because this team seems to be very close, and they have bought in to what Vance wants them to do. So, you know, I mean, coaching is, if you can get your team to believe in what you believe in as strongly as you believe in it, they'll make you a winner. And, I guess that's what we saw in the last two games. We went down to the last possession, and we won them both.
And we're going to, yeah, look, Jack, and I'm well aware. And like I said, that's why I'm not going to overhype anything in either direction, because they easily could have lost. I mean, last night, the jumper goes in, you go to OT. I wouldn't have liked the Bulldogs' chances in OT, because I think that Stephen F. Austin had a couple of go-to guys that would have been really tough to contain for five more minutes. But the shot lipped out, and they win. And that's the fine line between winning and losing. Although I will tell you this, that you brought up Lou Gehrig. Dan Gladden, who played at Fresno State, won World Series with the Minnesota Twins, and was a great, great player at Fresno State, and had the distinction of, I believe it was 24 units he signed up for to stay eligible. You can't do that anymore. When Dan was with that, nobody was more stunned than Bob Bennett when Dan Gladden showed up and said, "I'm still eligible, coach. Let's play ball." Right? When played for the Giants, he got hurt, and Randy Cutcher came in to play center field. And Randy Cutcher was a journeyman player who had a couple of good games. And so Dan Gladden comes back into the clubhouse, and over his locker, they had put masking tape, and his name was now Danny Pip. As though he had just lost his gig the way Wally Pipp did. Wally Pipp lost his gig to Garrett because of a headache, for goodness sake, and never got it back. But what I wanted to bring up, Jack, about guys like Gorey, for instance, is he has the one thing that you can't teach, and that is unbridled confidence. I mean, I'll tell you what, this guy is never, no matter, I know this about Deshaun Gorey already, no matter what the circumstance, he is never going to shrink from the moment, is he? He is a guy who, from what I can see, is unaffected by pressure, period. And as a coach, you got to love those kind of guys, right?
Oh, he made two clutch threes yesterday, and he is not known for his three-point shooting ability.
Right.
But like you said, he doesn't know that he's not a good three-point shooter, and he just knocked them down. I mean, the scouting report on us is stay with Jake at all cost. You know, never help off Jake because you don't want to give him an open three. He's not shooting as well, mainly because most of the threes he takes are contested. I mean, these are tough shots that he's taken because, you know, they're relying on him to shoot, and the other team knows he's the best shooter. Gorey stands out there and, you know, can have a sandwich and a drink before somebody comes down to guard him. But I think that's going to change because of his numbers. I mean, he's starting to knock down threes. And like you said, that's a lot of it has to do with confidence. I mean, he's thinking, hey, you're not going to play me? Are you kidding? That's an insult. It's kind of like I remember watching teams intentionally walk Shohei Ohtani to get to Mookie Betts, who was an MVP with the Red Sox. You know, I mean, that should be an insult to Mookie. Well, it's an insult to Gorey if you're not going to guard him beyond the three-point line. And he made, I mean, the first one he made, I think, was our first three of the game, and we just needed to knock it down because we lost the three-point battle. Pretty badly, I think, by maybe close to 27. I don't not nine threes, but maybe four or five. I think we had four. They had nine, something like that. So he makes that one, and then at the end, you know, when we're down and we're down, I think Paul Loeffler said seven at the under 3 minute timeout, and he makes one to stem the tide, I think maybe cut it from 7-4 or 6-3. these are clutch shots. These are not, you know, end the game, you know, points when nobody cares and guys are just padding their stats. You know, Gorey's making clutch shots, and no one would think when he makes the steal and dunk and he runs down and they lob it to him and he dunks, everybody expects that from him. But when he's making threes, he's now going to be a really tough matchup. And other tough matchups, you notice that Zion Collins, who's right-handed, made probably four or five drives with his left hand and short floaters off the glass. I mean, he's just, you know, if you're doing that, you can't force a guy to his weak hand, because if you're going to force him to his strong hand, he's going to blow by you. That's a tough matchup. And, you know, if you're with Jake Highbreeder, it not shooting well, you still have somebody guarding him. So if he's beyond the three-point line, basically they only have four defenders. So it's a lot easier, you know, to attack the basket, because you're not going to get a help defender off Jake. So we have some very difficult matchups. We need to get more out of our big guys.
Well, you know, Jack, talk about the three-point shooting. The Bulldogs were 5 of 12, which percentage-wise is very good. But you had a team that was 9. This is the thing. You have a team that was 9 of 29 against you, and the reason is, and this is where it's a problem, they got up, 19 more shots than Fresno State did in the game. You can't have that. That is not survivable long-term. You know, I realize that that's mitigated by free throws, of course, and we talk about it, because anytime you're being fouled like that, the shots in the field reduce. But you can't have somebody with roughly 20 more attempts than you do, and you think you're going to win all the time. They got away with some things last night.
That goes back to the offensive rebounds. They're getting those extra shots because they shoot and miss, but they get the ball back. So if somebody shoots and misses, and they get an offensive rebound, you shoot and miss, you get another offensive rebound, you kick it out and you make a three, that possession was 3 points, even though they only went 1 for 3.
Well, you and I were talking, Jack, a couple of weeks ago. I had mentioned to you when Paul Millsap was at Louisiana Tech. Saw way too much of him in conference, trust me. That they, I mentioned, I was talking to, they had played this when the old Thursday Saturday setup, right? So they were in San Jose on Thursday. They were coming here to play on Saturday. And Dave Nitz, their longtime, an outstanding radio announcer, very good friend of ours. Dave was visiting with us in the off day Friday, right? Because they had left San Jose and they were here in town waiting to play the next day. And I noticed, I mentioned the stat sheet that I said, geez, Paul Millsap, who, as you know, was an offensive rebounding machine. He was same way in the NBA. He had a fine career. And I mentioned to Dave, I said, well, Paul had an off night last night with offensive rebounding. He goes, no, he didn't. Our team finally made shots. He said, that was the only reason that he wasn't getting offensive boards. He said, normally our guys are brick masons out there. So the opportunity existed where you really don't want it on the offensive board because you'd like to be making shots. But Fresno State's going to have to figure out a way to conference. Now, admittedly, Jack, this was a very difficult night last night for the conference when what happened to San Diego State, et cetera. Nevada had a bad time. We talked about it happening this time of year. But when you get to conference, which is not that long away now, everybody is going to be ready for you. So would you say that no matter the Bulldogs going on a 10-game winning streak right now or a 10-game losing streak or whatever it might be, that as they get into the meat of conference play, there will be no secrets, period, about Fresno State, nor will anybody else be a problem where you don't know exactly what to expect in conference these days?
Yeah, that's how it's going to be. But like you said, you know, somebody's going to come out and have a great game you don't expect. But that's, you know, that's more an anomaly. I mean, you're going to know how you want to guard teams, and you're going to know after the game why you won or why you lost based on how you played compared to your game plan. Now, if you can execute your game plan, usually you win unless, you know, the talent is just too much to overcome. I noticed Arkansas, I think, had a one-point win yesterday against a a much lesser opponent, it escapes me now, but they had a game very similar to Fresno State's, where the opposing team had a shot to win it at the buzzer and missed. So, you know, I mean, I would think, you know, going to Arkansas maybe doesn't look quite as bad as we had thought. But, you know, you got a couple games before then, which are not easy games either. New Orleans is a good team on Friday night at 6 o'clock.
Pepperdine.
Bear toss. We should, you know, tell everybody to bring a stuffed bear and get in for free. And then, I always get one. I give it to one of the little kids, let them throw it because they're, you know, they're not too little because they don't want to throw it. But, you know, we got one on the last couple of years. The kids really enjoy firing it out there, see how far they can go. And it's for a good cause. But New Orleans, you know, has beaten TCU at TCU, which is a heck of a win. So, you know, it's going to be another good game. Utah Valley won their league last year. Stephen F. Austin perennially is good. And now you got New Orleans coming in. So, you know, it would be nice to see a bigger crowd and, you know, extend the winning streak.
Well, again, the Bulldogs, you know, have the Acrisure coming up. They've got Pepperdine. They'll get a couple of opportunities of television-wise for exposure that's important. So, Jack, the last question for you for this particular episode of our Wednesday visits, my Wednesdays with Jack will continue all the way through the year and beyond. My pleasure. Where are you at right now with this team? In the space-time continuum, are they where you expected them to be right now? And again, this is where we talk about a guy like Stickman, who we knew he was a fine player, with obviously a local kid, but we didn't expect to see him on the court, and yet he is an impact player. With those kind of pleasant surprises, offset maybe by unfortunate injury like Zulame, which is something you really hated to see for him and for the team, are they where you thought they would be right now? Or are you saying, you know what, this team is still a whole bunch of pieces that have to come together, and there just is no certainty right now what direction this team is headed? Where are you at, or are you somewhere in between those two particular issues?
No, it's the latter, and you listen to Vance after the game. He said the same thing. He's still figuring out, and he even used the word pieces, you know, which pieces to put where. Like I said at the opening, his best defensive team might be his worst rebounding team.
Right.
And, you know, that's a concern. But, you know, they forced a lot of turnovers, and they got points off those turnovers. They weren't just dead ball turnovers, you know, where you force a guy to step on a line or throw the ball out of bounds, you know, or travel. You know, these were live turnovers that turned into points and turned into exciting plays, getting the crowd into the game as well. But it's, you know, if he's trying to figure out who, you notice that the guys who start the game are not always in there at the end of the game. And usually the guys you start the game with are the guys that you want at the end of the game too, because usually you're going to start your five best guys. I'm not saying that he's not starting that. I'm saying he doesn't know. And that's exactly what he said after the game. He's just not sure. He's still trying to figure out which combinations are best at which time in the game, because he's going to substitute a lot, you know, as opposed to Tark. Tark knew who was going to play. And, you know, if you weren't, you might as well wear a jacket and tie on the bench. With Vance, he's going to substitute a lot. He wants to get the right combination of guys in there to you know, disrupt the game or to increase what you're doing if it's going well. So, yeah, I'm like he is. I'm still waiting. I can't make a prediction on the team right now. You know, when you see one game, you think, oh, woe is me. And you see the next game, you say, hey, these guys know how to win. So, yeah, let's wait and see. And let's, you know, come out, support these guys. you know, watch them when they're on TV and see what you make, make your own judgment. But like you said, it's all going to come down to the conference anyway.
Yeah, and it's just one more time, a 60-game, two-year singular entity to me. And we still have a long way to go. And this team, they could put together a winning streak. They could turn right around and lose five, six in a row. That's the way it is right now. We'll see how it plays out. Obviously, I hope that this team is able to be what everybody is waiting for. And I know this is a real tough time to try to build the team, as we've talked before. But it's the reality, and you know this, Jack. If you, you know, talk about you can't stand the heat, stay out of the kitchen. If you can't deal with all the emotional ups and downs that, that college basketball or any sport right now in the NIL world leads with, what are you going to do, right? I mean, you get out of the business, don't you, if you can't deal with the realities, because it isn't fair, but it is what it is. I hate that phrase, but that's the case. And so hopefully it's going to be in front of a good crowd on Friday night. You're right. It's a good New Orleans team. The football team is home on Saturday, so it's a good opportunity for people in town that are staying in town to watch Saturday night at the stadium, stop on by Friday and check things out. I wish they were starting at 7 instead of 6, but I realize the survey says
6, but I just think it is tough for people who work, you know, until 5 or 5:30 to get there for a 6 o'clock game. But I don't know, powers that be, I'm not invited.
Well, here's the problem with it, Jack. The problem is, it's a two-hour proposition. If it were like a football game, 3.5, sometimes more than that, I get it. But when you have a two-hour proposition, the window of 7 to 9 o'clock enables people to get home, have something to eat, round up the kids, the family, and go to the game and still be on their way back home by 9:15, 9:30, everybody's back in bed by 10 if that's the case. Going at 6 o'clock, my theory is, and I've said this before, people intend to go. They get home from work and it's 5:30. The game is on the internet, and they go, you know what? We can't get there in time, and my kids like to watch Shoot Around, and we're not going to be there for that, and they're whining about that. So you know what? To hell with it. We're just going to stay home, and I'll just catch it on the net. And I mentioned this the other day. When Boyd Grant had that great turnaround of the program after the real tough finish from Ed Gregory's time, and Ed's a terrific guy, obviously, but the team didn't play well toward the end of his coaching career. Outstanding scout, as you know. But, the games were not available on TV. So when we started to hear things were going on and we were going to games, we're saying, well, something's going on here. It behooved you to go because you could not have access to it otherwise. Now, Jack, as much as the internet is great, it makes it easy to sit your fanny on the couch instead of coming on out. So I would implore Fresno State to make it a lot easier time-wise for people to come out, which means 7 o'clock. But you know what? You and I already know that, and I understand why they did what they did. All right, that's enough complaining from me for a week. Jack, appreciate it. I hope people, again, hit you up, 559-287-3305. I've got that emblazoned in my memory. Or FurtigJack at AOL.com, and ask Jack why it's Furtig Jack instead of Jack Furtig, and he will tell you. Right, Jack?
Yeah, we'll say it on the air one day when they maybe loosen up.
Yeah, you mentioned it before. Somebody else had it. We'll leave it at that. All right. Listen, Jack, have a great week. I'll talk to you next Wednesday. Take care.
Look forward to it, Tony. Go Dawgs.
Okay, you got it. All right, guys, Jack Furtig, take a break, come back, tell you about the schedule, hand it off to Phil. He's got a couple hours for you, and then he is headed to the legendary, and I do mean legendary, but very small gym at Sam Wilkie Memorial tonight for basketball, SJM in Bakersfield. Jalen Green will be there. They'll retire his jersey, and he'll be on the air with both Phil and Paul Metters for a short period of time. Stay tuned for that. I'll tell you about all of it after this, as the Bulldog Hour continues on this Wednesday on Central Valley Sports Leader, 1430 ESPN. Hi, buddy. Welcome back to 253. If you want to show the show, hand off to Phil, as I can. He said, behind the bench, normally 3 hours, be 2 hours today, because he and Paul Metters will be heading to Sam Wilkie Memorial tonight. SJM in Bakersfield, it's basketball, it's Jalen Green, he'll be there, jersey retirement. hope Jalen heals up in a big hurry. I mentioned earlier the Suns are playing much better basketball than people expected, and they could certainly use the athleticism of Jalen Green. He'll be on the air tonight with Paul and Phil. Tell you all about the schedule in just a second, courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his great business, Precision Civil Engineering. But first, I want to remind you about the local KFC operators one more time. Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. They have the great throwback to the late 90s underway right now. That means the classic honey barbecue flavor on everything, on the chicken sandwiches, the tenders, and of course those crispy golden pieces you know and love. 2-, 3-, 4-piece meals on sale. Also, you have got your longstanding Wednesday Country Fried Steak deal for $5.99. On Tuesday, still the $10 8-piece or 8 tenders offer is there. And the chicken pot pie is front and center again. Everything right now in regard to the sandwiches, the tenders, and the pieces of chicken with the honey barbecue flavor that was so popular in the late 90s. So stop on in the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. Pick up whatever you can food-wise. It's always finger-licking good. And tell them thanks for supporting athletics throughout the Valley. We appreciate their sponsorship on the station as well. As far as the upcoming schedule, again brought to you by Ed Dunkel and his great business, Precision Civil Engineering, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management. It's all there under one roof, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net. For more information, the great fundraising Ed does for the Lyles College of Engineering on campus at Fresno State. It's right there, always. The goal to unify athletics and academics to provide more funding resources to students. So many of those graduates from Lyles College of Engineering on campus at Fresno State will come to work for Ed at Precision Civil Engineering. As far as the lineup goes, today a little bit of an alteration. As I mentioned, Phil will have 2 hours instead of three because he's headed to San Joaquin Memorial for the game tonight, 6:45, the pre there, by the way. And Paul Metters, normally with his great show, for Fresno Pacific Athletics, the Sunbird Sports Show, 6 to 7 on 790, will be on 790 an hour earlier tonight so he can be with Phil for the game. So what you've got is Phil 3 to 5 with behind the bench on 1430, Paul with Sunbird Sports Show 5 to 6 on 790, then the basketball game at 6:45 on 1430. Tomorrow, we start another NFL week, week 12. We always have the Thursday, Sunday, and Monday games. This Monday game coming up will be the 49ers and the Panthers from Levi's Stadium. For us, it's Major Wager Monday. That means Carter and everybody, me and Ed's Victory Grill, Cedar and Dakota, Granite Park, the great food of me and Ed's, terrific atmosphere, the big screen TVs, giveaways, and a lot of fun. Get there by 5 o'clock. They'll kick it off at 5:15. We'll have the 49er broadcast for you. And, of course, the game is on Channel 30 and on ESPN every Monday, Major Wager Monday. Me and Ed's Victory Grill, Cedar and Dakota, Granite Park. Please stop on by. It's a great time for everybody. Also, we have got the Lakers and the Sharks still coming around the bend this weekend. We'll tell you more about that tomorrow. And I do want to remind you, on Thursdays, Phil is at Fashion Furniture with our good friend Rod Avedikian, who has a huge Black Friday sale coming up this Friday. So check that out at Fashion Furniture El Paso across from River Park. When Phil is there, he's got some good eats around, no doubt about that. You can always give Phil a call on the Lee's Air Hotline. That's 559-320-1430. Phil is normally with you Monday through Friday, 3 to 6. By the way, he and Paul Metters will be at Collegian Stadium as we look for a divisional Valley champion between Deegan Rose and Clovis High School in Central East. So it should be a terrific game, a 7 o'clock with a 6:30 pre on Friday from Collegian. Stay tuned for that one as well. The other reminders, Paul Metters has one other very good show on Saturdays on 1430, in addition to Sunbird Sports Show on Wednesdays on 790, and that is Central Valley Sports Report, 10 a.m. to noon on Saturdays from First Ring Sports. We are with you at 2 o'clock each and every weekday. You can reach me, tdad1 at att.net, tdad, the number 1, at att.net. everything for the station, 1430ESPNFresno.com. You find the live links and podcasts there. We're still working on the live link as we switch from analog to digital with this show. All the podcasts are, however, available, and we'll get the live link back up as soon as possible. Last reminder again, NIL monies, any donations, please go to GoBulldogs.com. Do what you can for Fresno State. Thanks once again to Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering, Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating and Roofing, and the local operators at KFC in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. And naturally, thanks once again to Jorge for the great work on the board and the Jack Fertig. We will have Jackson with us to talk Fresno State, Utah State tomorrow. Phil coming up, then basketball tonight at San Joaquin Memorial. We'll see you guys tomorrow on KFIG Fresno.